got a parrot hair on my shoulder. It's a parrot, it's there, and it's bolder. Like I show you my cards, I'm no folder. Cause I'm a soldier against everything square and unsightly. Yes, I know I look good, so don't fight me. All I need is a clip for a scrunchie, and then I'm ready. Because I rock a side pony. Baby, I'm just living my life. Because I rock a side pony. I see you whenever I'm able. Though we're keeping it under the table, it ain't a fable. Why can't we hide in the way in your derby? We're having fun and we're keeping it flirty. Everybody might say that it's dirty, but don't you worry. Because I rock a side pony. Baby, I'm just living my life. Because I rock a side pony. I rock a side pony. A side pony. Who doesn't love a side pony?
Side Pony by Lake Street Drive, Lake Street Dive. This is DJ Bridge, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Up next, we have Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water, and I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your gentle hair and the way you like the daggers. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. 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 Did you have to go to jail? Put your house on up for sale. Did you get a good lawyer? I hope you didn't catch a thing. I hope you find the right man who'll fix it for you. Now you're shopping, and anywhere takes the color off your hair. And did you have to pay that fine? That you were dodging all the time, are you? busy. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess. And I miss your gentle head and the way you light the days. I want you to come on over, stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think about all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your tender hair and the way you light the day. Won't you come on over and stop making a fool out of me? Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
I'd rather go through amnesia ha, and forget all about it. No reason I always get so dramatic. I'm more manual, she automatic. Trying to get rid of her static. I got smacked last night, it makes sense tonight. But it's time to tell her I've had it.
She always says she loves me when we're drinking. But I get you.
seem like the type that got something to prove. Come on and dance, let's see you move. This ain't the first time that I noticed you. Take off those heels, let's keep them new. Now bring that body closer for a few. She always says she loves me when we're drinking.
I Saw Her Standing There by the Beatles, and before that we had Says She Loves Me by Air, and then of course Valerie by Amy Winehouse. And up next we have the song Dizzy, which is a Tommy Roe cover, Dizzy by Rita Chao, and this, it looks kind of short, so afterwards we may play the Tommy Roe covers, or the Tommy Roe original. As well.
Okay. This is actually a request. We finally figured out how to work our telephones on our radio show. What has it been, a year now?
No, okay.
Year and a half.
We go back and forth between knowing and not knowing.
Yes. The constant someone... being when Bridget runs the board, the phones are picked up fine. When I run the board, it's a little iffy.
No, it just depends if we have the...
Yes, someone got rid of
usually a sheet.
Our helper sheet.
Yes.
But the good news is we if we have any weekly listeners or any followers, you'll remember when we had T.A. Maxx on our radio show, Mellow Maxx. We actually ran into Mellow Maxx in the dining hall yesterday. And with no context, I just said, please explain to me how to pick up the phones on the board. So, and he did. And it worked perfectly. Bridget was like, how do I do it? And I was like, bottom left, bottom right, together, top left, and then it was good. So we finally got our caller in, and these two songs are a request from our caller. So if you're listening, if you're still listening, here are your two songs.
seven fingers, never seen him fall. That death of a blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Love the One You're With by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And before that, we had Pinball Wizard by The Who. And, of course, Dizzy, both the Tommy Rowe version and the Rita Chow version. So,
I enjoyed both of those songs. I had never heard that song before. I'll be honest, I did like the Tommy Rowe version a little more than the Rita Chow version, I think, personally.
Yeah, I thought they both sounded good, but I mean, obviously the Rita Chow version is in Chinese, and I can't understand Chinese, so I liked then listening to the Tommy Rowe version and hearing the lyrics, so I kind of knew what they were saying. But they were both very good songs.
Speaking of Chinese, I found out yesterday that this is the first year that Tufts is doing this, where a lot of other schools, to try to minimize the housing crisis, will first semester freshman year you have to go abroad. You're like accepted to their college, like Northeastern does this, where they're like, yes, congratulations, you're accepted, but you have to go abroad for your first semester freshman year. Tufts has never done that before, except this year is the first year they're doing it, and they chose two locations. They chose Peru,
okay,
and China.
Okay.
Both of which I would presume have a language requirement, because those are not English dominant speaking countries. Usually you choose like Ireland or like, like the UK, somewhere where like if you don't speak English, like you can get by. I mean, if you do speak English, like if you, do you know what I mean? Like,
yes. I don't know. I've heard, I know some people who have done the 4+1 at Tufts.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of the same idea where you go abroad your first year and do some sort of service project.
Service, yeah.
So I guess are they just continuing that and making it only a semester instead of a full year, or is it
no? It counts towards your. You know, it's a new program, and it counts towards your. You do only 4 years. It's not like 4 years plus a semester.
Yeah.
It's your first year. You're doing like what I like anyone who goes abroad in junior year.
Yeah.
You just do that first semester fall.
Yes.
So you're not doing a community service project. You're like in a classroom, like learning with only Tufts students. It's a Tufts only program.
Oh, then that's interesting.
I was a little surprised about the two locations.
So do you know if it's definitely in English or like if it's like English classes or if it's like.
So one of my suitemates is the admissions like consulate, I think, or wherever he is. I don't really know what the title is, but he's like the mediator between the admissions office and the Tufts and the students. And I kind of pushed back and I was like, well, what if you don't speak Chinese? Or like, how are you going to get by? And he goes, oh, I don't really know. Like, I guess the school would be in English. It just happens to be in China. But it's like, how do you go out? Like, I feel like part of going abroad is you explore and you kind of travel a little bit. And sure, it's about the academics, but also you're there to explore the country, too. So, I don't know. I'll have to see. We'll have to see how it turns out. The primary goal of it being to free up some bed space because they accepted so many people. They're like, conditionally, we want to accept all these people, but we don't have enough beds for these people yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of frees up some space.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I would not want to do this, though. I don't think any school that I went to, I would not want to go abroad for first semester fall.
Yeah, I know some people who did.
How did they feel about it?
I think they enjoyed it. I'm not positive, but what I don't fully understand is I feel like it wouldn't necessarily, I feel like it's just a temporary solution. Because I don't,
yep.
I feel like it wouldn't free up that much space, because presumably if you want to study abroad, either you do it your freshman year or your, or like junior year or sophomore year. So if you plan on studying abroad during college anyways, like you're freeing up, I guess you're freeing up beds in like freshman dorms?
Yeah, because like juniors don't live on campus. So if I go abroad, it's not like I'm freeing up a space for someone else.
Yes, but I feel like part of the problem with housing at Tufts is that there's not enough on-campus housing for upperclassmen as well.
Yes, yes. But I don't think they're trying to solve that problem right now. I mean, they're kind of trying to solve the problem, but not like Mitchell's to solving. Anyway, that's our takes on freshman year housing. Tufts housing. I feel like I talk about that all the time when I show people around, when they come visit. I'm like, what's one thing you don't like about Tufts? And I'm like, I don't have housing. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will be the new solution. We'll see. Another fun fact about Chinese, I used to be fluent in Chinese when I was in the third grade and the fourth grade. Actually, second, third, fourth. And I have zero skills left.
How, you just, like,
not fluent, very proficient.
Okay, they taught it in, did they teach it in your school?
No. For some reason, and I don't remember this, I just went up to my mom and I was like, I would like to take Chinese lessons. I want to go to Chinese school. So every weekend for like 2 or 3 years, I went to Chinese school. And it was like 4 hours on a Saturday, 3 hours of classroom time, just learning Chinese, 1 hour of like a cultural activity. So I did origami 1 year, I did calligraphy 1 year. Like, you just, yeah, you go in and you learn. And then I reached a point in the fourth grade, which I do remember this, where my teacher, my Chinese school teacher, told my mom that my mom's gonna need to be more hands-on because all the other parents of the students would come to Chinese school with their student, mm-hmm. and like sit in class because every other student was Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents were Chinese and spoke Chinese. I was one of two non-Asian people in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girl quit very, very fast. So we reached a point where my mom was like, you can keep going if you want, but I'm not going to be able to help you. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm done. I'm good. So I stopped it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Do you think if you had the desire, you could just pick it back up?
Like, oh,
you could,
I would have to relearn
completely. You'd have to relearn it, but do you think it'd be easier to relearn?
I don't know.
Than
Like, do I still kind of have the dialect a little?
Like, you may not realize, but then if you started reviewing, it's like things would, like, if you started relearning, maybe things would stick easier than they might in a completely new language.
Maybe. I mean, it was only for 2 or 3 years when I was, like, 7, 8, 9, like, in that age range. It wasn't like I spoke it all the time when I was little, like, young, and then I just stopped. Like, I think I only did it for 2 to 3 years, but I was good. Like, I wasn't, like, amazing, but I reached a point where I could stand up in front of a classroom of entirely, like, little boys, little Chinese boys and girls and their parents, and I could read aloud from my workbook and, like, share out to the group. And I won, like, most improved award at some award ceremony. I was like, yeah, of course I'm most improved. I came in with no knowledge, nothing in the home, and I can, like, kind of make my way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it would be easier for me to do it, but I do remember the day that I raised my hand to, like, because we always did the, like, part of it was, like, you had to stand up and read from your textbook and, like, read it to the class, and I never volunteered because I was never confident in my skills. And I remember practicing so much 1 week because I was like, I'm gonna read out loud. Mm-hmm. Like, I was practicing to my mom in the kitchen. We were sitting at my bar stools, and I was just practicing. My mom was like, I don't know what, I can't tell you if you're doing this right, because at least with, like, the romance languages, you can maybe kind of phonetically sound it out.
Yeah.
Chinese, it's literally a different alphabet symbol system. It was, yeah, it was crazy. My mom was like, that was beautiful, honey. I was like, Mom, I messed up, like, so many times. What do you mean? She's like, how would I know? And then I did it, so it was nice. Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting time. I don't really know why I decided Chinese.
Yeah. But, you know, cool story.
I guess, yeah. And then we had no other language until I got into the high school.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We had, in 4th and 5th grade, you had to take Spanish.
I wish we had that. I wish I could be kind of fluent in Spanish.
No, because it didn't... I think it helped the kids who continued with Spanish. But in 6th grade, like, everybody took Spanish in 4th and 5th grade. Mm-hmm. And in 6th grade, you could switch to either Spanish, French, German. Or Chinese. Ooh. Or, like, Mandarin.
Okay.
So I didn't really learn that much Spanish, because I kind of went in, like, maybe the first year, but then the second year I was like, I'm gonna switch to French next year.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of introducing the language in kindergarten.
Yes.
Because I have a friend here who, when he went to kindergarten, did not speak English. Like, could not speak English. Mm-hmm. And just by being around English kids in class and going to ELL, he became completely fluent in English. So now he's bilingual.
Yeah.
I think that if we were taught sometimes in Spanish and sometimes in English, starting early, like preschool, kindergarten,
yeah,
maybe I'd be more proficient in Spanish.
Yeah.
I tried to pick it up when I first got here. I was like, I'm going to learn Spanish. And I went to the one day of Spanish 101. And it was so hard. They go so fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, back to French 3.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like for the number of years I've taken French in school, I should be fluent.
But Me too.
I think it's, like, just passively taught, if that makes
sense.
I agree.
Maybe if I was emerged.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Although I was talking with our friend Dylan.
Oh,
and he
friend
was,
Dylan?
Yeah.
Nice.
And he was saying that, that... Yes. And he was saying that apparently children and adults, like, can learn... Because I was under the impression, like, oh, like, if you start early, like, it's easier for children to become bilingual or something like that. He's like, no, it's just as easy for adults if they do the same amount of work, but children will have better accents.
Yes.
If you start young. But then in terms of, like, if you're learning the same amount and, like, in a similar scenario, then, like, you can become, like, it's not like you lose ability. It's just, I think, like,
I believe
as a kid, like, I don't know, I think it's just, like, as a kid, you're probably just more curious and, like, more into it, and all now I feel like I'm more jaded, and I'm like, let's get this French requirement over with.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, oh, one more semester of German, all right, and then I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, should I have kids someday, I would want them to be, like, I'm going to play the CD that's, like, talking to them in Spanish sometimes, and I would have to learn at the same time so that I could talk to them or, like, be conversational with them. But I want my kids to have that skill, or just any language skill. I think that that's so helpful in the world.
Yeah.
To be able to speak a second language.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pick something super obscure, but I think that could be cool to be able to be proficient. Yeah, friend Dylan has a funny story, speaking of language, where when he was little, he had a nanny who was Jamaican. Mm-hmm. And by the age of 3 to 4, he was a little blonde-haired toddling, like little toddler, with a thick Jamaican accent. Because he just listened to his nanny talking all the time and quickly picked up the way that she pronounced words. And that is one of the funny, like, I can just see, like, you know Dylan. Like, a little baby Dylan toddling around with a thick Jamaican accent, I think is hilarious.
Yes.
It's great. Yeah, I'm a fan of that story. He'll probably not be happy with me that I just, whenever I talk about that, he's like, oh, come on, Elizabeth, that's my funniest story. You can't tell people about that.
You just stole my funniest story.
Well, Dylan, I have shared it with all of our airwaves. Four of our listeners, they now know you have 13.
Hello. Wow. Out there.
Hi, all 13 of you. We're so pleased to have you with us.
Yes.
Who knows if that's actually 13? See, this is a common theme with me as I'm like, is it actually 13? Or are like 12 of those just like modules that are picking up the air? Like, I don't know.
Nah, I think it's at least 6.
At least 6.
I'm
going to
go with that. I'm guessing one of them might be my mom.
Aw, hi, Mrs. Horan.
Hello, yes. Because she tries to listen on Fridays.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think my parents have, or I don't think anyone in my family has listened. I think my aunt said she was going to listen. But then the time that she said she was going to listen, the day she told me she was going to listen, I wasn't here because there was that span of time when I was not here.
Ooh.
So I think that maybe that turned her off of wanting to listen. But I'm so pleased, even just seeing 13 on that screen, that gives me hope.
Nice. Yeah. I think my mother listens because she likes finding out information
about you.
About, yeah. Because if I call her, I call her every week on
Sunday night. Yeah.
So if she listens on Friday, she gets
talking points for the next day's conversation.
Yes, talking points for the conversation, but also she'll just hear things that I won't necessarily, like that I won't mention or like I won't think to.
So should I start working things in about your life so that your mom can know stuff that's going on?
No, I tell her stuff when I talk to her on Sunday. It's not like I'm keeping her in the dark.
I know.
But this way she finds out two days earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for example, would you tell her that I saw you yesterday outside on the quad having class? Because that's a fun tidbit. Bridget's part of an outdoorsy class.
Oh.
An ex-college class. Which I think is pretty cool because this is Bridget's second ex-college class.
Yes.
The queen of the ex-college. Maybe you'll teach an ex-college class.
I would consider, I don't know. I don't think I'll have time to.
Okay. Should you have time? Let's say the world's your oyster. What would you teach it about?
I don't know. I've actually talked about this.
Really?
I don't feel like I'm enough of an expert to.
I feel like you could become an expert on something though.
Yes, but I don't know what I'd become an expert in.
Let's see. What are you...
But yes, currently I am in Introduction to Technical Rescue, which is similar to just like mountain safety, but apparently they had to change the name because a Introduction to Mountain Safety course was taught like 4 years ago and...
Really?
Can't repeat the name.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued about what you would teach. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things. I think you could do a cool blend of like... painting, architecture, computer science, like melding everything. Like I feel like you should work your painting into it somehow. Like we talked about last week, one of your hobbies that when you go home you look forward to is painting. Like what if you could bring that to school and not have to worry about Patrick Song stealing your spots in a painting class?
Yeah, I think I am. I actually do think I'm going to take painting next semester.
Yay! Which one? Landscape?
No, Patrick Song stole my spot in landscape.
Come on, Patrick Song.
Yes. No.
Figure painting, maybe?
No, I wanted to take either landscape or contemporary portrait, but ooh, those both filled up, so somehow I'm in intermediate to advanced painting.
What? Well, no, you definitely, you did AP art.
Yeah,
Of course you should not be in beginner
painting. But I would say, like,
I'm not taking painting foundations.
Okay, good.
Or like
good.
They have those as
where
well.
Where they teach you your where they teach you your color wheel, and they're like, this is red.
I think they're beyond that at this point.
I would
it's
need
just
that.
Like you
like,
would
don't ever use red with green. Like I would need someone to tell me that.
Well, no, but you can use like there aren't rules. It's art. It's not like don't ever use red and green. You can use red and green.
If you want to look like a Christmas tree. I don't know.
Yeah. Do like
I like when the professors could be like, so you could do red with green, but don't. Like I know there aren't rules, but I want it to look good. And when it's just me, when like in high school, I had our teacher who was just like, you can do whatever you want. Like, it's okay. And I was like, no.
You can. It's art.
And tell me what's going to look good.
No.
To give you an example, I did some pastels, which, you know, pastels spread a lot and like they get on your fingers and they just go everywhere.
Yes.
I was doing a pastel of people and I'd never done people before, ever in my life. Like, I had not drawn them, painted them, whatever. And she said something like, oh, you should just smudge this part to, like, blend the colors.
Okay.
So I did some smudging and somehow ended up with a smurf because the entire body turned blue because I had done too much smudging.
Okay.
It was awful. And, of course, I'm looking at my thing and I was like, I wanted this to be good enough to go on the wall and now I have a smurf.
Mm.
Like, it was going to be this beautiful, like, dancer from Broadway. Like, it was going to be great. And I had a smurf.
Mm. It's a learning process.
Yeah. Yeah. You and know, then I did a Georgia O'Keeffe for my mom. This is my funniest story. I love this story. I made my mom a Georgia O'Keeffe for Mother's Day.
Okay.
I had been working on it the entire semester.
Okay.
For the first semester of the year, I did like my pastel. I did learning how to draw lines. Like second semester, we got to pick a project and I found this beautiful Georgia O'Keeffe. And as you know, Georgia O'Keeffe has a certain theme to a lot of her works. So I picked one that was a little bit less overt in the theme.
Okay.
It was a lovely flower. It was a more obscure painting of Georgia O'Keeffe's. And I made it. And I like got the colors to mix. It was on a canvas. It was with oil paints. Like, I was so proud of this. And I didn't tell my mom I was making it because I was going to give it to her for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished it. I bring it home. And I give it to my mom. No, I hit it. I was like, I'm going to give it to her for Mother's Day. So then I gave it to her for Mother's Day. She goes, oh my God, I love it. Thank you so much. She goes, I know exactly where I'm going to put it. I was like, oh, great. Thank you. Do you know where it is right now?
The basement.
It is hanging above the toilet in our downstairs bathroom. Not only is it hanging above the toilet, it is hanging upside down above the toilet.
Oh.
Which adds to the certain theme that you don't really want. Where it's like, that's not what I wanted. Because I'll admit, my mom did wallpaper the downstairs bathroom in a dark blue color.
Okay.
And the painting has tones of blue running through it.
Okay.
So it kind of goes...
Have you mentioned to her that it's upside down?
Oh, I have. But it was hung... The little hanging that she put on it is on the, like, hanging this way portion. She knows it's upside down. I said it after a while. Because at first I was just like... She can do whatever she wants. It's her painting.
Yeah.
And then eventually I said, like, it's upside down. She goes, I kind of like it this way, though. And I was like, okay. It's your painting. Whatever you want. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's also because it's right above the toilet. Sometimes, like, I don't know how this happens. Things splash on it. So there's, like, watermark on the painting.
Ooh.
Where I don't think it's someone, like, missing. But I think someone's, like, shaking their wet hands around or just, like, being crazy in the bathroom. So there's just, like... Like, water gets on it, so the paint's kind of, like, smeared in one part, and there's, like, a water... It's...
Yeah.
The bathroom is not the place for visual... Like, especially child art.
Yes. I had one painting that I also did in oil, so it took a long time to dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it into the art classroom to dry, which was a mistake.
Oh, no.
Because even if, like... People were pretty good about, like, not putting anything on it. It just got... Somehow got, like, crumbs in, like, certain... I don't know. Like little, there were like little specks of dirt all over.
Did the crumbs dry into the paint?
I kind of noticed them. Like I noticed them. I took the, like I tried to get them out.
Yeah.
And then I put it somewhere else to dry. Yeah. Where I didn't, like on top of a like big cupboard or something where I didn't think people would be going. But it was the kind of thing like in trying to get them out. Like, they're, like, and it was, like, around the edges, so it wasn't too bad. But, like, you can see, like, me trying to get it out, and I wasn't going to paint over it because, like, I didn't want to, like, I liked the way it looked, so I didn't want to change it. But
basically, you can't trust the art classroom.
Oh, trust me. Yeah, that was a lesson I learned. My art class was a disaster. Like, just the kids in the class were not into it. One of the projects we had to do was build a sculpture for Christmas time out of food. Ooh. So I was making like a graham cracker. What did we make? We made a graham cracker amusement park.
Interesting.
Out of like graham cracker, marshmallow fluff. It was a disaster. So that would explain why we had crumbs in our classroom. Mm. I don't know how you had crumbs in your classroom though. Also, yeah. You were in AP art. I was in studio art.
No, see, that's the problem. Like, my class, the AP art class was very small.
A tight-knit community.
Not too many people. Okay, maybe, 18 people, I feel like.
Whoa, that is a lot of art prodigies.
Not everyone is a prodigy. I would not say I am an art prodigy. Okay. I would just say I followed the course taking this thing freshman year, this thing sophomore year, this thing junior year. And so then it's like, well, guess I take AP senior year.
Guess this is my future, my destiny.
Nice. I wouldn't say that. But it wasn't too big. Like, it was a nice class. The problem is that's only one period. Everyone else rotates through.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. We had AP art at my school too. No, we had IB art. Mm. And they had to do this special thing where they had to keep a journal of all of the art they had done, and then they had to make a story going through it, which this might be just the IB, not the AP. But you had to have a theme. So, like, it's a two-year course.
Yeah.
So, one of the girls in my class did, nature and art, and she used actual flower petals.
Okay.
To create, with the art, with the paint and everything.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a cool idea.
Yeah.
But I kind of just want to do art for the sake of art, not have to create, a story that goes with it.
Mm. AP also had a concentration.
Oh, that's what they're called. Concentration.
It wasn't... Well, I mean, it could be different for IB. It wasn't 2 years... Well, it was sort of 2 years. You had pre-AP, which is where you just worked on your breath, which was just you can do whatever.
Oh, yep, your breath. Yep.
Yeah.
I thought you guys all said... Because I would not put it past my art teacher if you all just learned, meditation, becoming one with the paints. We're going to focus on our breathing today.
No.
Wow, what an idiot I am. I'm like, you worked on your breath. Sure, that's an artsy concept.
No, B-R-E-A-D-T-H. Yeah. And so that's just the, all your, anything you want, kind of.
Okay.
And then senior year, you worked on your concentration, which was, following one theme, typically, stuck to... Like, it's very loose. Like, you could have... Like, there are different ways to establish it, but our teacher was kind of just like, yeah, I recommend sticking to the same medium and the same theme. Like, you could have done, the same theme but not the same medium, or, same medium draws them together, but it's, slightly different. I don't know.
Cool.
I didn't finish it.
Yeah. Looking at the time, we've been yapping. I think we need to do a PSA. Oh, and we have a caller. So, we're going to talk to our caller while we play a PSA. Wait. Bridget, why don't you quickly choose a PSA for us so we can pick up the phone?
Oh, cool. So,
we're going to be playing
Breakup Foster Care.
Here it goes.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Of course!
She woke me me up with a bang bang. Looking over cross-eyed, had a big hunch that the world was a big lie. When I got up, all the blood to my head, I got so dizzy, fell back into my bed. I went over to the wayside, looking for the high tide. What will I find, will I find, will I find, find? All I saw was a man that had a hat, that had a pom-pom. He's been there for years, can someone tell me how long? Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not find. Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not. You see, this woman woke me up at a quarter to three, and I didn't know it then, but she put a spell on me. Said I had to go down to where the cliffs meet the sea and meet an old man to present my plea. So I headed way down to the big pier, to await and confront my big fear. I wheeled around behind to my blind side to find an old man with a lime and a kind eye. Said, "Mister, mister, with your beard so long, won't you be a saint and tell me just where I'm going?" He pointed to a conch shell and then to the lime and said, "This is all I really need to get by." Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not find. Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not. Hey, hey, Mr. Man, I know you don't know who you think I am, but I can safely say that I should have been sleeping, been sleeping, been sleeping, been sleeping the day away.
Somebody pulled
my
shade.
Said, "Excuse me, have you got the time?" He shrugged his shoulders, said, "Get a spine." Coconut hit me on the head, Jones in for a fig. I got booked last night, I need another fix, dig. Just then I see a twinkle, twinkle in the old man's eye, and a wave toss bottle is thrown to the sky. I caught it on the rebound, it landed with a soft sound. I took out the message, put the bottle down. Inside was an antidote to the spell, and I read it to the man, cause he couldn't read so well. Said, "Don't worry about a thing, you know your path is true. Just ease your mind, have a banana or two." Well, goodness, goodness, woe is me. The man nearly flipped a lunder, he was free. But just before he left and started kicking it, I picked up the bottle and stopped, sixed it. Kick, kick, shuffle, shuffle back to the beach with a tune on my lips and my quest in reach. That woman comes to you with her song so sweet. Say, "Damn, let the poor sucker sleep. Let him sleep." Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not find. Wake up to tell me, wake up to show me what I could not find.
That was Bang Bang by Dispatch, and this is DJ Bridge. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Oh my gosh, Bridge just made the craziest dance to go with that. As she was saying it, there was some like modern dance elements going on, some flailing hands. I loved it. I think we should do that every time. I am DJ Bloomerang, your co-host.
This has been Random Access.
Thank you for listening to us yes. From 10 to 11. This is our last show, maybe?
Last show together?
Yeah. There's a chance we'll both be here next week.
Okay, I think...
We'll see.
We'll see.
Someone will be here. Either Bridge or Bloomerang will be here.
Or a sub.
Or both.
Or Rick Deckard.
Or Rich Deckard. We don't know yet.
No, I should be here next week.
Okay.
Because I have... It's like final season for all the students, but I only have a paper due. So that's
you can write your paper while on air.
I could do that Okay. Or I could do it in advance.
Or that.
That's what I was thinking of, but...
All right, well, we actually got another caller in our show. Two calls. We are 2 for 2 on today's calls. And this gentleman asked for a song to be played, so in our last 2 minutes of radio today, we'll be playing Take Me Home, Country Roads.
By John Denver.
Yes.
Which I'm a big John Denver fan.
I feel like that's not really a statement you hear very often.
Why?
Like, I'm a big John Denver fan. Like, that's not usually the title, like, the artist that's chosen. It's like, what is that, country music? Like, I'm a huge, I don't really know a lot of country artists. I can't.
Well, I wouldn't say it's country, necessarily. It's more like folk, you know?
Oh.
Kind of older.
Sure.
What?
My bad.
Okay. I don't know. No, but I think it's very relaxing.
Yeah.
Like, John Denver, I have some... Jim Croce.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. We had a lot of that last semester, or last year. We played a lot of that. That's a classic Bridget song, I think.
Okay.
A Bridget artist. Also, quick anecdote for all of you. Just so you know how on the same wavelength Bridget and I were, I was running a tad bit late this morning. I popped into the studio at 10:02 instead of 10 o'clock, and I came into the studio, and I had thrown a few songs together in preparation for our show, just in case Bridget was running a few minutes late, you know, and I had to start the show. And the first song I put in my playlist was Side Pony, which is a TBT to Bianca, who had a show a year ago right before us. And I walked into the studio, and Bridget, lo and behold, is playing Side Pony as her first song. So without talking to one another, Bridget and I somehow came up with the same first song as our opener. We both missed it so much. I think it was a great way to end our show. We are now going...
Well, we started.
Yeah, Bianca always played it at the end.